This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
God dang it. Or I got so sick listening to I Am Gotham that I got nauseous. And
yes.
Maybe that's what did it. Could have been that too.
I haven't had a chance to listen yet. I've been on vacation, so I'm back to work tomorrow, so I'm going to try and give it a listen then.
Oh, okay. Might be some cursing.
That happens. See,
might be some cursing.
The way I've been looking at it is, if you're totally set in your ways and you have no ability to look at something differently, then you're going to hate that story. But for me, I enjoyed it.
Well, instead of just accepting that and saying that they don't like it because of that, they decided to say, I'm lying that I like it because I'm friends with Tom. And that's the only reason that could be. What really I think it is that so many people like it more than not, and it bothers them because they don't.
Right. I don't know.
There's... I've seen a whole bunch of like Twitter stuff. It's either you like it or you don't. There's no gray area.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
No. What?
And some of the stuff that people are bitching about is like comments, like for me, because I mean, you guys have like the vast, you know, core stuff, right? Where I've just read stories here or there, but like, I know like some of our friends that don't like it, and then people bitching about it was why Selena was in Arkham, right?
Yeah.
So my take on that was, obviously, there's the question mark there of if she's lying about it or not, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're in Blackgate or whatever, and you actually think that you did kill all these people, then doesn't that make you crazy enough to go to Arkham?
I mean,
or no?
That's one way to look at it, but I mean, at the same time, there are plenty of people that are in there who know that they killed a whole lot of people.
All right. Well, it's like I know, you know, that's a sticking point, but it's still a facility for costumed dangerous people.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And this is Gotham. It's not like this is Rikers Island. Like, right. you can't say, like, I've seen them say they love some of the books that they loved, like Inhumans and Death of X, and I could kill Death of X in one thing. How can Emma maintain that bubble of thought and everyone sees Scott for that long?
Yeah.
How did that, like, that doesn't make any sense for her to be able to hold that bubble of thought.
But
she was never that strong without Cerebra.
But you're missing the point. Catwoman killed 300 something people.
275.
Is it 275? What, I think it was 345.
Something.
It's 270 something, I think.
Yeah, it was under 300, but still. And a Batcat and a Catwoman costume. And dressed as a cat.
Eh.
Kill.
Doesn't bother me. It's funny to me that a couple of the people that are super upset about it are people that have been reading comics for so long, just for the sheer fact that, like, when everyone flipped out about Captain America, it was people who, you know, everyone who reads a lot of comics is like, hey, it's a comic story, just read it, wait. You know, obviously, right, there's a story, it's going somewhere.
Well, changing the narrative as you read, like, I don't see what the big deal. They act like something new. Like Martin mentioned over and over about changing the narrative, like that's a new thing in comics, and that's not. It's been done,
right,
since the 90s, since the 80s. You know, Morrison did it. Moore did it. Like, it's not just a novel thing. It's just it's a playing with the audience. I mean, they even did it in Miracle Man at one time. You think it's one thing, and then it wound up being Miracle Man, the kid, and not Miracle Man, or you thought.
Yeah.
Like, did that, that playing with the narrative is part of the story. Like, you can just not like that, but that doesn't make the story bad because it changed the narrative. I didn't have to ask Tom who was writing that thing. When I read the wording, I knew that wasn't Bane.
Right.
Like, there was tenderness in that letter. There was no way that would have been Bane. Bane would not have written to Batman about killing people.
Yeah.
That's not something he cares. Like, he wouldn't care about that. He would, like, as much as a like, and then even with reading years of Bane, yes, he's smart and all of that and calculated. But why does he always fail? Because he does things like someone from prison does. He has a master plan. He could have killed Batman many times, but he never does it because he always wants to break him.
Yeah.
It's a childish thing. He always wants to make Batman get on his knees and say, I am the biggest kid in the schoolyard. I'm the head dude. And I'm better than you. He always wants that. That has always been his thing. It's a psychological thing with him, which is childish. Like, if you really, think about it, you should have killed him. If once you kill Batman, you won. Yeah. But he can't, because he doesn't want to win that way. That's not him winning. He's not happy.
Yeah.
That's why he'd rather break a prison. That's why he'd rather break out everyone in prison, watch him have to fight all these villains, capture his, his friends, send him notes, like taunting notes about, it's not time yet. Like, I will break you, but not yet. Like, constantly studying him and all that kind of stuff. That's not the person who is mentally stable. To do something like that is a serial killer stalker type of mentality.
Right.
Right.
To do it. That's not new. That's not something Tom pulled and put in the character. Like, how many times is that? I mean, even the thing of the fighting people in a crowd, like with guns and stuff. The army is coming towards them. It's close quarters and they're fighting. How many times have we seen? You mean to tell me you want to go through every time Batman's fought a group of people with guns? In a room, and he hasn't gotten shot. Like, now we're gonna say it's a thing. Now it's a thing where he should have been dead. I don't like what is so he wanted him captured. He didn't want him killed. If that was the case, he just would have. He would have. As soon as he had him on his knees, he would have took a knife and just killed him.
Right.
Right.
He had him multiple times. He could have just. And Batman knew that. He does not want me dead. He wouldn't have put him in a. He would not have put him in that prison that he grew up in, overnight, and Batman broke out of it. But he wouldn't have put him in that if he didn't want to taunt him, and he knew he would taunt him and play with him and do that. Like, psychologically, he beat Bane. That's how he beat him.
Yeah.
Right.
That was the whole thing. Like, he knew his enemy. He knew the Bane wants. He knew the Bane. He taunted him even with the constantly saying, I will break your back, break your back. That made him mad. That taunted him. That made him do stupid things. Because if it was me, I just would have took a gun and just shot him. I'm not playing with Batman. I'm just gonna kill him. I'm not playing with him. I'm just going to tell them, dude, just kill him. Don't. I don't want him on his knees. I don't need that.
Right.
But that's what he did.
Is one of Bane's origins where he's the masked wrestler?
No, that was some. I don't know why they did that design.
I was just asking.
Yeah.
Was that like from the cartoon or something?
I think they joked about that cartoon shows.
He always had that. No, he always had that mask. That mask hid that. It had that the pumping thing in it.
Yeah. For the venom or whatever.
Right.
It
allowed him to pump right into his neck.
Well, I just saw like when he in 13 when he did like wrestling moves actually. you know, on the panel.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was, if he did have, like, one of his origins was that, that was kind of a cool concept, a way to bring that in.
You know, he just knows different ways of fighting, you know, and just wrestling with that body frame of being, he would be better as a, you know, he would wrestle. He could win in a wrestle in a match like that because it's just bigger.
Right.
But he's still not strong enough without the Venom to do the breaking of the back stuff. Like that's, he just doesn't have the strength for it. That pissed him off too.
See, one.
Is that you telling me?
Go for it.
Go ahead, Aaron.
Go for it. I had a different thought.
Okay, because like one of the things that the only thing that about 13 that I didn't care for all that much was how easy Selena broke Bane, I guess.
I don't even think, like, everyone thinks he broke his back. I don't think.
No, well, I didn't mean.
No,
like
I mean
that.
He. Like Batman said. Batman said break him, but I mean, he's just a big naked dude hanging out somewhere.
Right.
You know,
right,
I don't think.
I didn't take it figuratively or whatever.
Yeah. But I mean, for me, what I've enjoyed the storyline, and I was curious to see how all of the pieces were going to fit together at the end. And I mean, one thing I liked is, you know, you got Punch and Julie with the weird bubble stuff. You know, you got Selena there. You have, you know, just like every piece that Batman needed for everything, of course, is perfectly in place, and he's just waiting for the right time.
Right.
You know, and he's like, you know, Selena keeps asking, you know, and he's like, just wait. And he's like, yeah, all right, now. And of course, you know, his entire plan came together no matter what. You know, I mean, it's another example of his strategery to steal the line from somebody else.
He knows, he psychoanalyzes his own villains. Like, he psychoanalyzes his own friends, too. So,
yeah.
I mean, this is a dude that is that, you know.
Yeah.
Is that anal about everything. Like, he wants to understand everything. So he knew that was the whole point of him jumping, and he knew he wasn't going to beat all those army, that whole army,
right,
and get in there and, you know, and take them out, just him. If that was the case, he would have said, he would have called the Justice League and said, look, I need this to go down. I need a distraction. He would have did that. But no, he knew that if you tell Bane, hey, I'm coming, I'm gonna break your effing back. I'm gonna fuck you up. Like, basically taunting this dude, because Bane is a bully.
Yeah.
No matter how educated he is, Bane is a, when it comes down to it, Bane is a bully. He has issues. He didn't have a mommy. Didn't have a daddy. Mom died in prison. Killed herself. Dad was, you know, he died too. So he didn't have any of that. The warden constantly tried to F with him, and it made him stronger. He had to decide in a dream, either die or you could be this. Like, in a dream, when he had that dream, he saw his adult self, and the adult self basically said, your day of being a child is over.
Right.
Like, this is it. Like, this is what we will be. Like, once you you know, grow up. This is no more about being a child. This is about being great, and this is your greatness. So, all, you know, all human compassion, all that, out the window. Get rid of that. And now we could be the greatest thing ever. We can crush all our enemies once we do it. And that was the decision. It was kind of like when Batman made that vow. Like, this is it. I'm not going to be. I will never be that normal dude. I will always be fighting crime.
Yep.
In some capacity, when he said it as a kid, Bane did the same thing. They wrote it where they went through similar things. It's just that they went through it in a different way. But it was a similar thing of the regular part of me that could be, right, you know, a regular person and go on and have a life. That's out. That's done. I will never be that.
See, but I think the difference between, you know, Bruce and Bane is that Bruce still had some kind of a support system with Alfred, whereas Bane was
you're exactly right,
you know, basically just on his own.
Right. You're exactly right.
So.
Yeah. Alfred is the difference. Alfred is a total difference. If he doesn't have Alfred, you know, that's a different Batman. That's a different Bruce. So.
You know, and I, like you're saying, I mean, I enjoyed how, you know, this arc really did kind of play off how the two of them are so similar, yet yet so different.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's, I don't know. I mean, like it or don't like it, I thought it was great. So.
But you can't tell me it doesn't make sense.
No, I. Okay.
And that's what I mean. Like the whole thing, I get back. And you cannot. You could not like it. Fine. But yeah. I'm not saying you can't like it. But you can't tell me. Like he doesn't have to spell out everything for you. Like he doesn't. That's not how he writes. He doesn't. You have to read it.
Yeah.
It's in the book, but you have to read it. And he doesn't spell it out. He doesn't make it easy for you. Like he will change who's talking, but if you know the characters, you will figure it out.
Right.
Like if you read it and think about it, you will figure it out on your own. You might not like that type way of telling a story, but it's just many ways to tell a story. I mean, that's just one of the ways to do it.
And I do like the Romeo and Juliet toxic relationship that's touched on with Selena and Bruce. Really?
Yeah, well, it's always been that, you know.
I mean, it's always been that way.
Right.
It's always been that way.
I mean, because like, if it's not a comic book and, like, one of you guys was dating a crazy-ass chick like that, you know, I would hope friends would say, hey, that bitch is crazy. Right. You know what I mean? So, I mean.
But he sees something more in her than, you know, that, right, you know, yeah. That thing where I see something. You know, like there's something about her that I see that you don't see, type of thing.
Right, yeah.
And that's, but whatever Selena is, she's still loyal to him. Like they have a kindred spirit. Like they both grew up in that cruel way.
Yeah.
You know, they both were victims of Gotham in a way, really.
Right.
Like
yep.
They both. Suffered because of where they were.
Yep.
And they came out of it. And she does have a code. And you're right. When people are like, she wouldn't kill. You're absolutely right. She wouldn't. So when he heard his girl kill 237 people over 75, he said bullshit.
Yeah.
I know my chick. My chick wouldn't do that. But something's going on and she won't tell me.
So I gotta take her in.
So I gotta take her in, and she's gonna. I want her to tell me.
Yeah.
She's not gonna tell me yet. Something's up. Something's going on. Like it's there. It's in the story. Like it's not like it's not in the story. It's in the story.
Right.
I would rather, and I don't. I would rather we get a story that's not six issues of people just standing around. Like if you could like that, and then you like. Civil War 7, where basically two people are been fighting for two issues now, arguing back and forth over profiling. They've both been arguing back and forth for two issues straight. That's been going on, and nothing is worked out. There's no story progression. You cannot tell me you love that and then you don't, and then you're not biased. That's some bias in it, huh?
Or Green Lanterns, where like the first seven issues didn't go anywhere.
Oh my God! Don't get me started on Green Lanterns.
Well, he had issues with Lanterns too. Well, I don't know about. Well, Martin didn't read it, but Mike had issues with Green Lantern.
Well, I was just saying, like overall, I wasn't disappointing
right.
them too.
Right.
Is there anything else you wanted to say about Batman? Because I have an issue with Green Lanterns.
I will never defend that either.
I mean, my last thoughts on Batman are, like, at the start of the arc, when you're seeing the people that he's assembled for things, and you're like, I don't understand this group. Like, I don't get what he's doing. But I loved, you know, obviously he needed someone who could take out, you know, the pirate. And, I mean, who can do that but a guy who, you know, has no ability to be afraid or whatever. Well,
he has the ability to be afraid, but he's only scared of
right
two people, Scarface, his own.
Yeah, his pup. Yeah.
His own persona and Batman. That's the only two people that he's ever been scared of.
So, I mean, it's just like, it's just, for me, it's just brilliant how, okay, this is my end game. You know, like, I guess Tom is a writer. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what I want to do, and I need people who can fit into that. And it was just, it fits right. So well that I was just like, wow, this is perfect.
It worked. Like, he knew that the Psycho Pirate would try to take him down. He would be able to, like, his other group, he knew that they couldn't defend themselves against it.
Right.
So they had to get him, because when Psycho Pirate's natural reflex is to, of course, do the fear thing with ventriloquist, so his mind shuts down and goes into the Scarface right. persona. Mm-hmm. And before he can react to it, because he doesn't know shit about Scarface.
Yeah.
Psycho Pirate doesn't know about the ventriloquist. He just knows some nerdy dude is running up on him.
Yep.
Yeah.
So before he even he's like, oh shit, why is he not dropping in fear? Scarface has hit him. He's done.
Yeah.
That's all Batman needed. That's all he needed him to do. He needed someone that could subdue Psycho Pirate. And once he did that, Bronze Tiger takes him out.
Exactly.
All you needed him to do. That was all his issue was. Like, all of it was part of the plan. That was why he knew that he could make a deal with him to go, and he knew that Ventriloquist would stick to the deal.
Yeah, especially, like, it was last issue, 2 issues ago, he's like, stay here and don't move. Oh, okay. Yeah. Just hangs out.
And he's always been that way.
Yeah.
You can't tell me he's never been that way. Alphas, he's easily controlled by alpha males or alpha personality.
Right.
Anyone that's has a strong domineering personality, like Selina.
Yep.
Like Batman. You know, like anyone that has that type of personality, he responds to it.
Right.
When Bronze Tiger
doesn't have it. Hmm? Bronze Tiger too. Like when he doesn't have. When he doesn't have Scarface in charge, he just listens. He'll go along with it.
Yeah.
For the most part. Weak people, he doesn't follow.
And that was a good... Like, having Bronze Tiger in there was perfect also.
Yeah.
Right. Because he is from Grayson. And he came... He was a trap... He was in jail because of... he was an agent for Spyro.
Right.
He worked for Grayson. He was an agent, too. They disavowed him.
Right.
So he got left in prison. So, but his thing was, he is on Venom. Like, I don't think Batman knows it yet, but when he talked to Batman, he said, I need you to get them. I need someone I can trust, which he trusts Bronze Tiger, because he's a good guy. He was always a good guy. I need you to get them out. I need you to get them to this point.
Yep.
So that when we get Psycho Pirate, we can be out.
Right.
And he, what he didn't know is that he would take Venom to do it.
Right.
And I think he got caught.
He lapses too, right?
He lapses too, but I think part of his deal was, I think when Bronze Tiger was trying to infiltrate, that could be easily explained because you go undercover all the time. He's an undercover, he goes undercover as a bad guy. He was like that in Suicide Squad. He was with the villains even though people didn't know that he wasn't a villain.
Right, like Katana.
Right. He get caught up in it. He got caught up. I bet you he was trying to go after Venom, you know, to stop it or something, and got caught up in it. Because when you go undercover, sometimes they want to see you doing drugs. You know, they want to see you break the law.
Yeah.
I could see it be that he took it, thinking he can overcome it. You know, I'll take it this one time. I'll get through it. And... that shit made him feel incredible. And he kept doing it. So now he has to deal with that in the next coming issues.
Yeah. Because what? We get a 2-issue Catwoman arc, and then Bane comes back, right?
Yeah, that's what Mitch Gerard's would be, the 2-issue. It's a Batman Catwoman story, basically.
Okay.
Mm hmm.
And then after that, we get a Bane story, which deals with Bane, the aftermath of Bane. What happens with him? Because he calls... Now Bane is back on the Venom.
Mm-hmm.
So he couldn't beat him.
And pissed.
Without the Venom, and now he's back on it. Now he's coming for Batman again.
Right.
So now they're going to have a rematch. So that'll be that deal. So it's all, you know, I mean, I can understand. I never say, people say, I don't like the storytelling. I don't like the style of storytelling. I wouldn't never argue with you. If there's certain styles of storytelling you just don't like.
Right.
But if you're saying the story doesn't work, or you don't get it, or, you know, things are not clear, you just explain it. It's not excuses. It's just, it's the history of Batman. What, it's there. Everything is pulled out. Like, everything comes from Batman, from previous Batman stories. There's nothing done that has never, ever been done before with Batman. He hasn't done anything that's never been done before. It's all there.
Agreed. So what's your issue with Green Lantern?
My goodness. This book, it was, I mean, the first 7-8 issues were horrible. It was just the same thing over and over again. The characters didn't progress or anything. And then we finally got that good story where neither of them were in the book.
It's based on the villain.
Right.
Frank, yeah.
And, yeah, Frank Leminski. Then the last couple issues have been still pretty decent. The last one, I guess issue 12 was kind of, it was probably the worst in a few. And then you get to 13. Oh, my goodness. I love how it starts off with Volthoom. And it's giving kind of his history with what's going on with the ring and everything else and who he is. And then, you know, oh, it's the Lanterns came up with the, you know, the Guardians came up with the Green Lanterns and they're sending them out and it's great. And then we get to freaking page 5 or whatever it is. And again, hey, that's my partner. It's Simon Baz. We're Green Lanterns. We protect the planet Earth. And I'm like, oh, are you freaking kidding me? We've been through this a billion times. And I put the book down. And I was like, I'll come back to this at some other point. But, I mean, come on. We are now, I mean, if they weren't double shipping, we are over a year into the story. And you're still pulling the same, we have to introduce every character and every issue. It's just terrible. It's terrible, lazy writing.
Well, I can't defend that.
I don't defend it. It's a style of storytelling that's working for the book. I was very surprised by those order numbers, even, because this is not a returnable book, and it's up to issue 12, and yet it is still doing just as well as Green Lantern, the Hal Jordan and Green Lantern. It
does not make sense.
I don't know what to say. The book is written more. It seems to be written more all ages.
Yeah.
Yes. In a way, like a cartoon.
I guess, but at the same time, you have the same, you know, the stuff with Volthoom and Rami where, you know, it's getting a little bit darker.
A little, but it's still
on the tweeny edge.
It still has that, yeah. It still has that tweeny, like, cartoon where it's, you know, she is dealing with her behavioral issues and he has his issues. And it's not like it's a cosmic type of thing. It's more.
I can see that. Yeah.
It's more of them. I wouldn't read it if it wasn't for for podcasts, I probably would have tapped out if it wasn't for podcast already.
Yeah.
But I prefer the Hal Jordan Green Lantern stuff, but seems to be the style.
Now that you say that, it's like Hal Jordan and the Green Lanterns are more stuff that we would like more adult-ish.
Right.
Well, it's
not saying that, you know, there's mature content in it, but, you know, it's more complex, I guess.
But that's the difference between who does Green Lantern, Sam Humphries?
Yeah.
It's the difference between him and Rob Venditti. You know, Venditti's style is he's going to plant seeds in issue 1 that you don't even notice are there, or you're just like, well, that's a weird little thing to throw in, and then he'll ignore it for 20 issues. And then it pops back in, and you're like, oh, man, that's great. I can't believe that I didn't see this connection coming sooner. You know, the whole this issue of Hal Jordan that came out, I guess, this week, fantastic. You know, I loved when John Stewart's like, oh, I got a plan, but you got to trust me. And then basically his plan is the greens and the yellows have to beat the crap out of each other so that, you know, so that Larf flees.
It's a fake fight. It's a Star Trek thing.
Oh, of course.
They've done that Star Trek thing.
But,
like, we'll fake fight and then you...
You know, you trick Larf flees, who isn't the smartest.
He's just a collector. No, he's a child. Yeah. He's a collector. I want it. Everything I want, it's mine.
And he's like, oh, no, you can't break my stuff. I need them all. Of course, now that he has the full might of the Green Lanterns and the Yellow Lanterns, I mean, what's he going to do? You know? And they answered the question in this one that we had last time about the Brainiac robot.
Right.
You know, because we were trying to figure out... You know, how Brainiac got involved. But this, you know, it made sense. It's an older robot that didn't have the newer technology that he's just kind of overriding with his ring.
He's trapped. And he's trapped in that in that model. He can't download any other bodies.
Yep.
Right.
So, you know, he's stuck.
He's obsolete.
Yeah. I mean, I thought this issue of Hal Jordan was great. You know, and at the same time, it's still, you know, not only... Are they, you know, piecing together, getting the Green Lanterns back in this universe? But, I mean, now Hal is back after, you know, being wherever he was in the Emerald whatever. And you got Kyle is back as a White Lantern, which is awesome. And there are still Guardians again. And, you know, it's setting everything up nicely to really, you know, actually do something.
Now they have to set up the Hope.
Yeah.
Guardian. They have to set them up again.
Right.
Which that was the one that was wiped out, pretty much.
Right.
Yeah. Was the Blue Lantern.
Well, Saint Walker was still alive.
Yeah, but he had.
But I think he was it.
Disavowed.
Right?
He disavowed. He lost hope. Remember?
Yeah. The ring was just kind of following him around.
Right. So now they have to, you know, now they have to reignite.
Yeah.
Hope.
See,
reignite hope.
But I think with that, I mean, once he sees that Hal is there and the lanterns are back and, you know, there's a White Lantern, mm-hmm. I think that'll be what it is. But
yeah.
Yeah. That to me, when he took the ring off and he's like, yeah, I got to go find myself. And the ring's like, no, I'm not going to go somewhere else. Just floated behind him for like three issues.
I'll wait for you to get your shit together.
Yeah, that was fantastic. I think Venditti was writing that one too. Right?
Was that?
I don't remember what book it took place in.
I think it was after.
It was after Godhead, right?
Yeah, I think it was after Godhead.
I just don't remember what title it was in.
That was Venditti. I think it was Venditti when they were wiping out the land. They were pretty much like decimating the lanterns, the different colored lanterns, really.
Yeah, but they took some hits in the New 52.
Yeah, they hit them first. I think Hope got hit first.
Yeah.
The Blue Lantern got hit first. And then they slowly hit Red, and then you know, everybody was starting to get hit. And then Red, they just brought everybody back to life.
Yeah. Except for, what's his face? The human guy. I just forgot his name.
Yeah, except for him. I don't think he wanted him back or whatever. I guess they just don't want to use him.
Yeah, that's a shame because I liked the relationship between him and Bleez. Because it was just funny.
Yeah. Yeah, but now they're like basically kind of zombies.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Ronnie, anything else you hated this week?
Anything I hated this week? Besides working 12 hours a day for 5 days? For Green Lanterns? No. I mean, you guys pretty much summed that up. And Hal Jordan, really.
Yeah.
I like how, like you guys said, it's like setting the table now. The only thing that I hope it doesn't do is like it did with New 52, is like everything's a big universal event. Like every time.
See, but they're only doing it in one title, though. because, I mean, Green Lanterns is completely ignoring the rest of everything because they're just on Earth.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, it's not like there is, you know, Hal Jordan doesn't have his book and Stewart have his book and Guy has his and Kyle has his.
Right,
you know,
right.
So it's not like they're going to do massive crossovers every six issues.
I don't know. I just wonder who the next big bad is that's going to be coming up, though. I mean, we still have the Howl and Lock Release fight, right?
Yeah.
Sure, they got to take him out. I mean, I'm pretty sure that Stewart and company won't.
Yeah, I think he'll be gone by the time Hal gets there.
But they have to deal with whatever that thing is that is coming that they warned Hal about.
Yeah, my hope is that they don't. I mean, obviously, you know Sinestro is coming back at some point. I just hope that they let it sit for a while.
They sit on the shelf,
You know, should let him sit
For me, you could give him a year plus off. You know, there's plenty of other stuff to do. And that way, when he does show back up, it's way bigger. You're like, oh, awesome. Right. Like, thank goodness. Instead of, like, two issues from now, you know, the story ends and there's kind of like a little epilogue of him sitting in a cave somewhere. It's just like, oh, come on.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I agree
with that.
The other book that I felt the most let down with, I guess, last week was the latest Justice League. I'm not feeling this series at all. I keep really wanting to like it, and I just can't do it. And I still don't know exactly what it is. But the fact that they... Like, I like the setup in the last issue where it's the kid with the iPad, you know, just talking to a game, he thinks, and it's doing all this stuff. And they bring in, oh my goodness, it's the worst people they've ever fought, and it's a whole bunch of garbage. And the way that they eventually end up beating them is in 2 seconds when the girl just, like, reprograms Amazo to be on their side, and you're like, oh, well, that's fantastic. You know, I thought this was going to be an actual challenge of some sort, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think Hitch is going to continue after they get through with his last, whatever his last year stories is. I think that's it for him.
Oh, really?
I think they're going to switch it up. I know there's a two-parter coming, which will be by the tie-in with the Suicide Squad story.
Right.
That'll be by Tim Seeley. It won't even be by Hitch.
Interesting. And then Hitch is back after that, I think, right?
For two more, and I think those two more, that's it. I think they're going to change it up and do something else. I think they're going to put another team on it. I don't think it's connecting with people like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've said it a few times. I really like the fact that it is these, like, global threat things that the Justice League is tackling because, you know, I'm sick of seeing the Justice League take out, you know, a Batman villain or, you know, a Superman villain or something that, like, they take out on their own. It's nice to see, you know, those pillar people thing that are trying to destroy the Earth, you know, something on that scale. Mm-hmm. It's great to see that that's where the book is going, but it's just the way there's something about the way that it's told that just does not, it doesn't get me excited.
Well, he seems to be mimicking the way that the people he used to work with, like Millar and like the way that he told stories. He's mimicking it, but he's not. But you could tell that he's not a writer. Like, he just seems to be mimicking how they told it, but he's not getting the nuances that somebody would get.
I can see that.
A more seasoned writer would get the nuances in telling that those big stories. Like, you have to have a foundation under it, and I don't think it's a strong foundation under it. You know, right. The Jessica and Flash thing, and there's just not enough. Like, they're not. It's just like you get the big thing, and then all, and then the little thing would be, oh, we'll go out to eat. We'll go to dinner. Right. I think I like you.
Yeah.
And then they go out to dinner, and even with that, it's like, oh, I quit. Like, yeah. That happened very quickly, but there was no. There was no kind of, you know, real payoff of that.
Yeah,
there was no payoff for that quitting and that whole setup of that. And then we just jumped to, and it looked like maybe he was trying to develop these kids and maybe they would have been a reoccurring character into the books. Maybe it looked like, especially when Batman was like, you know, I could work with her, basically, right. Like wink, wink, you know, like, right. She's, you know, I've mentored kids before.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if that was kind of his plan and it just didn't work out.
But
see, that first issue, or not the first issue, but the one where, what was it? The one where we find out that it's the actual kid that is just playing the,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it was issue 4 game 10 maybe.
Yeah.
That was not yeah, this
was,
one, it was the
that
last.
That was
one.
Like the best one that I read, for me anyway.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Well, when they went to their house, it changed total tone. Like, the tone of the arc just changed when they got to the house. Like, yeah. It was this big thing of talking about death and no one but one person died during this whole thing, and then everything is attacking, and you got a cool you get a cool thing with Batman fighting everything in his Batcave, basically. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then next issue, you just shoot to, they go to the guy's house, and Flash is like, I'll take an energy drink if you got one.
Yeah, right,
like,
yeah.
it just stopped. Like, there was just no, it was just like, I was reading two, it felt like I was reading two different stories all of a sudden.
See, but the, like, right, the funny thing about that is, I mean, how many times do you read a comic, you know, I'll just use Green Lanterns as an example, where the first, like, 7 issues could have been told in 2 issues, and it probably would have been mm-hmm. a much better story. Yeah. This book is, like, the exact opposite, where it's, like, it feels like, you know, there should have been 2 or 3 more issues of character development in there that all just kind of got cut out. And it's, like, you know, like you said, with Flash and Jessica, it's, like, what was that? You know, yeah, everything, it came and went so fast. You know, like, a lot of the stuff in that issue where everybody was kind of fighting with somebody else, but it all just went away, and you're just like, wait a minute, but, like, how did that all resolve as quick as it did?
Well, recently I was watching a buddy of mine, we were watching his kids love Justice League Unlimited. We just happened to be watching it. It was an episode of a random episode of, like, Lex, them, the Justice League having to protect Lex because Mazo was coming back to kill him.
Right.
Right.
And you had, it had like 12 superheroes in it. Like, they, you know, they, you find out he's coming, it's really quick. They're at the satellite, they're up in the satellite, and that setting of them being in the satellite, you had, Diana has to go to this function as an ambassador with the Amazons, and she doesn't want to go, and she asked Martian Manhunter to go with her, and Martian Manhunter's like, I'm not feeling it, like, I really don't. And then they're like, you know, John, you don't go out, like, you just sit here all the time, and it's really getting to you. You know, like, you really should get out. And it did that. This is one episode now. It did that. Then it went to Amazo's coming. He's busting through all these fail safes. They get Lex. Ray is like, we'll figure out a way to take this guy down. Lex being Lex, he's like fighting the Justice League first because he just can't help himself.
Right.
It's like, even though they're trying to help your ass, you're still fighting them. And then they go through a whole, like, he gets him. He's transcended the dude. You know, like, he's pretty much he's transcended his own making into, like, almost godhood. And Dr. Fate comes in out of nowhere, and he's like, it's time. You're ready to become that, like, celestial being type thing.
Right.
Like, but all of that happens in one yeah. episode. Right. And the setting, and it works because the setting is they're in that satellite. I think the best thing for the Justice League book would be to do it like that. Like you, if you don't have time to set it up, or if you're you don't want to constantly have to set up like these long arcs or whatever, set it in that where this is the Justice League. You got people up in the Justice League. Something happens. They got a mission. They got to go down and take care of it. You have little tendrils of things. Like you could have the Flash. You've been talking to Jessica a lot lately. Like what's going on with that?
Yeah.
And, you know, and then
like it's a clubhouse.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Like it's a mission. That's exactly what it was. They wrote it like it's a clubhouse of heroes, and that way you could have dialogue in the other dialogue of stories that you can kind of push little at a time. But for the main part is, Earth is in trouble. We gotta go.
Right, because like, that's
the arm goes up.
I mean, that's how it's been so many times too. It's just missing it with this.
Right. So it's. I think I think Hitch needs to. I don't think he could do that. I don't. Hitch has not written a lot, and I don't think he's the writer to be able to take the Justice League and do a consistent story. Like he did okay with the bigger ones in the beginning, but it's even the bigger ones still it was missing something. Like there was something that just wasn't clicking. If it's going to be a Justice League book,
right,
right,
and you can tell that you can tell how. You know how inexperienced he is as a writer as you read it. So
yeah, I mean it always surprises me, you know, when I mean not that he's like an unknown, but no. When you're gonna take, I mean, the Justice League is really like a flagship title,
right?
And you're gonna hand it to someone who doesn't have, you know, a lot of experience. I mean, obviously, you know, Geoff Johns isn't writing a book. He was doing it in the New 52. But, I mean, you figure there are other people they have, you know, that they, you know, maybe they have a little more confidence in, you know.
Well, like, if Hitch is going to draw it, I mean, even though he's kind of lost a step in art over the years, he still, when you put Hitch on a book, people are just going to pick it up just for the art.
Right, and I thought he was doing double duty on the series, but I guess that was just the first issue.
Yeah, it was just the first, because he
can't. Yeah, there's no way in
like,
2 weeks.
He's not a fast artist, yeah. So there's no way. Yeah. He is not that type of artist where he could do the art and story and maintain it. He could do it for the first four issues or something, and that's it.
Right.
Like, so if you lose what you wanted. Like, if you know, like if Hitch ain't gonna do all the book, like that would be the thing. I would only do. I wouldn't even put him on a main book. I just would have said Hitch. Tell a
pick a character issues. You want to work with.
Yeah, you got 12 issues. Just tell that story. Just say it happened in a couple of days, so you don't have to connect because I know you're gonna be late. So I wouldn't even solicit. I would just say because people want the art. They just want the art. So do a short. I wouldn't even say 12. I'd say do six. Give me six.
Yeah.
And then we'll solicit it after you're done. And it'll be six issues. You get splash pages of, you know, Batman doing this and Superman doing that and Wonder Woman doing this cool shit. And it, boom, throw that out to the people that just want that art book. And I'd have someone else do the Justice League. And, you know, they can kind of take the continuity of the other books and kind of put it in and work within that system.
Right.
And do it that way. That's what I would do. And I would give them an art team strong, like Batman's had a strong art team. I'd do that.
Oh, yeah. Them too. The art on Batman, it just gets better every issue.
Right.
Is it Mikhail Janin? Right?
Yeah, Janin. Mikhail Janin. He's going from Finch, Mikhail Janin.
It's like rotating, too, right?
Yeah,
it's rotating because Finch is coming back after.
Yeah,
after
Gerard's
Mitch.
Heads.
Finch Gerard. Like, there's nobody on that book. Even the Monster Society.
Oh, the Monster
story.
Man? Night of the Monster
Men. Yeah, the Monster Men. Like that was he's a popular indie artist, but it wasn't like they just still didn't just throw a no name on the book, and it didn't, you know, no name artist or not popular artist on the book. It just so you put enough keep the arc short so that you give whatever artist comes on it time to do it.
Yep.
And right. You know,
and breaks.
And breaks. Like you rotate. You do Justice League like you do Batman. Like when you're working on this arc, we'll have someone Fabok doing the other arc, and then we'll have, you know, we'll have someone else come in and do another arc. Like they're getting some good artists to come back to DC late, so this year with Rebirth, they seem to be getting some good ones in. So if they can attract, they can keep attracting some strong artists, or even try some new ones that are good. I mean, not
right, yeah.
than anything, and keep the stories, you know. Even if it's one issue, I wouldn't mind if it's just one issue and it's a one and done adventure of just small team ups. Then, like they did with Justice League when Justice League Unlimited when it came back after all the, you know, like when they brought everybody back again to do that last few seasons of it, they started out with doing two, three characters an episode.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like one,
back to it being
one of the core mm-hmm. members of the league and two random people.
Yeah, yeah. So like you could do that for a minute.
Yeah.
And have people give them a like what DC character you want to work with.
Yeah.
Right.
And you get here you go, do that, like, you know, and have the art like you want to draw that, and bring on an artist to do that. You only got to do one issue or two issues, and then you know keep going.
Yeah.
I bet you get a nice, those pages will sell. Anything with Batman and Superman, Wonder Woman, any artist would want those pages because right. they sell hotcakes when people buy, when they go to cons, when they buy pages.
Oh, yeah.
So they'll do it. Don't let it fool you when people talk about, I don't want it. I don't care about the big two. Listen, when it comes to selling them pages.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When it comes to every page that Batman's on, you ask those art dealers, how much is it for that page?
What,
that got right. Batman.
Yeah, I mean, not even that. It's even prints that they make up. You know, like a friend of mine got Clayton Crane Superman prints.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Clayton Crane doesn't do Superman. It's just like, oh, my goodness, yeah. I need to own this. Yeah. You know, throw anyone on there.
Exactly. Because he ain't going to sell it doing Venom prints.
Yeah.
Right.
He's not going to sell as many doing, you know, just doing, because that's what he was doing. The last thing he did was Venom. But you're not going to, you know, it'll be a little something, but it ain't going to be. They'll be like, if it ain't Spider-Man on it.
Yeah.
You know, the big, a big name on there, it's not. Those pages go for minimal unless they're that popular an artist.
Right.
So, you know.
No.
You can attract.
Did Bernard Chang. Did his art used to be a lot cleaner than it is on Batman Beyond? Because I seem to remember really liking his art, and I am not liking his art on this book that much.
I like it, but it was two. Remember, there's two Changs, though.
Oh, am I thinking of Chiang?
You might be thinking of his brother. There's two Chang artists, the two artists with the last name Chang.
Ah, that could be it.
Is more than so you might
maybe I am
and I mixed them up too because there's one and I'm like, oh, that's it, you know.
Yeah, because I keep reading Batman Beyond and like I'm enjoying the story. I think it's great, and the reveal in this one that it's not the Joker, that it's Bruce Wayne just like drugged up, and that the Jokers are basically just like stealing all his money and resources.
Right.
But like I keep looking at the art and I'm like, I really thought he was way better than this.
Well, he did Wonder Woman. He did that Wonder Woman run with Azzarello. That was Bernard Chang.
But that's not the same guy doing this though, right? Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's Bernard Chang.
Really? Okay, then then I like I said, I used to like his art way more. I thought his Wonder Woman arc was fantastic. He did, like, the first 30-something issues, right? The two of them were on it together for, like, a couple years.
In between, yeah, there was I forgot his name. He had a similar style, so they rotated when he had needed breaks.
Oh, okay.
But there's two Chang. There's another Cliff Chang, I think, or...
Oh, maybe it is Cliff.
There's Cliff Chang and then there's Bernard Chang. They're two artists because I mix it up too. And yeah, they're both yeah, might be the style you might be thinking of.
Maybe
the other.
Yeah, but I really
the style still feels like the cartoon though.
It does. That's why they picked it.
Yeah.
It's that style of the cartoon. That's why it probably bothered me because I remember I watched the cartoon.
Oh, I love the cartoon. I mean, don't get me wrong. I really enjoy the book, but it's like, I don't know. Sometimes it just feels like it's just scribbles. I mean, you'll get a couple panels that are like fantastic, and then you get a couple that it's just like, oh, I got to finish this page.
I don't know. I didn't get that from this.
Huh.
I really didn't. I didn't. Usually, I'm on art. Like, if art bothers me, I'm like with this part two of Suicide Squad versus Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
That bothered me. It, Tony Daniels better than that, so I can tell they rushed.
Oh, well, I didn't realize that was a weekly. That it's coming out every 6 weeks.
Yeah, it was
weeks.
A weekly. Yeah, and it was originally it was supposed to be Fabok doing all five. Or six, all six.
Right.
And then they reneged on it. So I don't know what happened. Something happened. Because they didn't even for the digital, the information went out. They changed it so quickly that the information went out already for Fabok doing all of them. So it's still, and when you look on Comixology, it still has Fabok listed.
Huh.
As the artist. Because they didn't even get time
to change it.
To change the thing. So that really tells me it was quick.
Yeah.
Like something happened. I don't know what, you know, whatever it was, but they're like, Fabok did one issue and that was it.
Is he going to be on anything else or not?
I don't know. Huh. But since Geoff Johns has announced he's coming back
right.
to do certain things, and that's John's baby right there. Like, when he wants Fabok, I'm pretty sure he gets Fabok.
Right.
He pulls him, so I wouldn't be surprised if he said, fuck that.
Well, JR's going to start doing Suicide Squad, right?
Yep, and I'm going to stop reading Suicide Squad.
I'm going to see what that book's going to do. I like his art. It didn't bother me.
Oh,
so it's an army book. I don't think it'll be that... crazy to me. That's to me. Right. But if you're not a JR fan of everything, then you're going to have issues.
See, my problem is I'm really enjoying Suicide Squad. Like, the story in that book is fantastic. And, I mean, Jim Lee's art is good, but, I mean, I don't really care who draws it, but, like, I can't read books with JR. It's so jarring and unnaturally physiqued people that I can't get through it.
It's like, okay, I'll give you an example. Like, when Secret Invasion for Marvel came out, I hated Lionel Francis Yu, right? But, like, now, well, I think Daryl and I even talked about it, or Nick and I or somebody, but, like, now, I still don't like it, but it's improved in the 10 years since it came out or whatever, right? But, like, Lee's art, it still looks like 90s style to me. Like,
well, not even that strong, because if you look at it, like, Zod is like a giant.
Yeah, thing, right. Yeah.
And then this one is like really small, and then nothing is consistent in this Suicide Squad run of his. Like, every body types change, and then there's similar. Poses that he puts people in that you kind of like, I've seen this before.
Yeah, and everyone sort of looks like Cable.
Yeah. It's kind of some of that is in it too. And so it's like, I know he needed, that's probably why it's only 10 pages for him.
Yeah.
Because I must have been killing him trying to get this thing done.
On time.
Because that's why they knew you better put a backup.
Yeah.
Keep it at 10 pages and do a backup each issue. Because.
See, I'm really enjoying that because the backups are nice. You know, that they'll pick who the story's kind of focusing on and give you like a bit of an origin or something. Or, you know, a side story with them. It's been really good.
Right. It'll be, I'll be curious to see, because I wonder what the numbers will be on it.
Right.
Once a few issues in, that's when you can really tell when people will be like, oh, fuck this.
Isn't the writer changing too? Or no?
I don't think Rob Williams is leaving.
Okay.
I haven't heard anything. I don't think he's leaving the book.
That's good. I thought maybe he was.
I can't say I'm sure he isn't, but I haven't. Right. I don't remember the solicitation saying that they were changing writers, just the artist.
Right.
Okay.
So we'll see. Because they did that with, he's doing Doctor Strange too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like,
yeah.
It's like Jason Aaron, Doctor Strange, the Rob Williams, Doctor
Strange.
And
then that one, yeah,
and it's
right.
It's like, I think it's better when you do like more down to earth characters.
Yeah. It is not. It is pretty bad. I think, anyways.
You can tell. You can tell there's a difference. I realized it from reading it, as opposed to, I didn't know when I, they tricked you because they just say it's a Doctor Strange thing, and I just thought it was a Jason Aaron thing. And I started reading it, and I'm like, something doesn't feel right. Why is the dialogue seeming off to me? And that's when I realized, oh shit, it's
not even the same thing.
No, yeah, it's not the same writer.
And that was the one that one, like, outsold a lot of shit because Strange opened that weekend too, I think, right?
It tricked you. People bought it. I wasn't the only one that bought it and then was like, what the fuck is this? But dude, there were people that thought they could, you just see Doctor Strange and you think they did it with the magic one where
they had one shot.
So they had a couple, Aaron did a couple of one shots that still went with what was going on in the main book, but I guess he just, you know, for whatever reason, then they added a one shot to it as well, like a side story. So people just, you know, when you're doing your orders or whatever, you don't think about it a lot of times. You just, you know, okay, just give me that. I'll pick it up, grab it. And then you don't realize it's you know, comic publishers do that. Sometimes they do that on purpose.
Because
they won't put the name in the front. They won't put the name prominent. They just put the title in big, and then you know, just to see if maybe you'll read it, and the percentage that might stay with it and the percentage that won't.
Right.
Because most people, if you make it too obvious that it's not the same writer that on a book that's popular, they kind of, you know, people are like, ah, you gave me enough time to cut my order. Like, I'm not doing it. But if you already order it, it's already coming. You can't tell your store to not, you know, to take it out, and then you're not going to buy it. You could, but you'd be a dick for doing it.
Yeah.
Right. So they had to pull it. So you kind of get some free sales on that you wouldn't have gotten otherwise.
Right.
That's why when you get to the second or third issue of it, of that particular arc, that's when you really see how many copies the store sold.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then you see that. Yeah. That'll tell you right there how many people were happy with that and how many people were pissed. You can tell.
Did either of you read the, speaking of one shots, the Supergirl one?
No.
Oh, it's not even a one shot.
That's a miniseries.
Or it's a mini, I know.
Yeah.
But
I did. I liked it
better than the ongoing.
I read this. And then I read also Hulk, and I didn't know that the same writer did both.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not expect to like Hulk at all. Like, I like the premise of another, it's She-Hulk, but we're going to change the name to Hulk.
Right.
I just thought, oh, come on. You're just trying to get people to, another thing where it's not the character you were going to name it that character, but that's not the character we're getting. People want Bruce Banner. They don't want... When they buy a She-Hulk book, that's because they want a She-Hulk book.
Right.
Not, you know. Like, right. And Supergirl, it's kind of the same deal. It was like, this came out of nowhere. I didn't know what this was. Like, it's not in the continuity of the DC Rebirth.
Right.
But it's going to be a hard sell. Like, what hurts this book, this writer is, like, amazing. The voice of this writer is amazing. She writes so well, especially internal monologues. She can do the internal dialogue so well, and it's so, there are not many writers that can do that well, and she can, and she's due. And then add to that, she did that with this book, and she did that with a book where I'm not even into Jennifer Walters like that, and wasn't even She-Hulk in it. She didn't become She-Hulk in it, and I just read the shit out of it and was like, I like it so much. And then I'm like, could it be a fluke? But then you read this, and it's like, no, it's not a fluke. This person could really write. But when you have a $6 book, and it's not part of the DC Rebirth universe, that is asking a lot.
Yeah.
So I can, like, you know, I hope that they do more with her. This is just a start off with this, but I can tell there'll be a lot of people that will not catch this yet.
Yeah, I mean, I knew it was coming out, but I'm just not, like, right now is probably an absolute low point for me in Supergirl. I don't care for the show. I don't care for the comic. And when I saw there was another Supergirl comic coming out, I was like, I'm just going to wait. But, I mean, everyone seemed pretty high on it. So I'll grab it when it's out as a trade.
Which is probably when people will learn about it. Like, people keep talking about it, and then when it's traded, people will catch it then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see people just saying, "Well, I don't know what that is. Let me just move on." Like, I don't know what the hell for $6. Yep. I don't know what that is.
Yeah,
and I can't say that they're wrong. Like, you're asking for $6 for a book. People want books that are part of the universe.
What was it, like a double size issue or something?
Yeah, it's 51 pages.
Oh, okay, that's not too terrible then.
It's not. People don't care about page count. They care about, is it?
Oh, right.
You know, you mainly the regular people that go in every week. What they want to know is it part of the universe? Mm-hmm. And how long is it? Like, is it going to be part of the universe? How long is it? And you tell them it's not part of the universe. And who is on it? Like, who's working on it? It's not part of the universe. It's $6.
And new writers on it.
Yeah, and it's people you don't know.
And people you don't know, and even though the art is good, it's still a writer that's not well known. She's an indie writer still.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Then they're like, "Fuck it, I'm out."
It's like, "Fuck it, I'm out." Like, unless you're one of the diehards that will buy anything Supergirl, you're gonna be like, "Ah, fuck that noise. I'm not doing it."
Yeah.
This one issue though, I enjoyed more than the Supergirl issues that came out in Rebirth. To me, I like her voice better. And
what is it? I'm assuming it's because she's not like a 6-year-old girl.
Yeah. Well,
she's still a teenager.
She doesn't act like a wishy-washy teenager.
I guess it's just the way that it comes across. I guess it's like more subtle instead of slamming.
Now, mind
your
you,
face
she's not going to wear the costume. She's not wearing the costume. She's not like it's a. She did do it like she. I think the writer has the freedom to. I think since they know people ain't buying this book, like there's going to be a small amount of people that are going to buy this book. I don't think she was told you have to do certain things. There's certain beats you have to do.
Right.
She gets to do what she wants to do. Like, it's a different animal when it's an ongoing. And it's like, we got a show coming out. We want you to do this, 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 and that. And I think also what hurts that book is the art style.
Yeah.
Like, I think they need to change that artist. I don't think that's the right art style for a Supergirl book. Even though you want her to be a teenager, that's fine. But I don't think that art style is helping the book any. It's just a little too manga style,
right?
For people, it's a turnoff.
Like it worked for Batgirl, like when she was there in China or whatever. But
and that's Raphael Albuquerque. Like that's you've got a proven thing when you have him on the book. But yeah, it's not. It's just not working. In fact, I think Joelle Jones should move to the main Supergirl book.
Yeah.
Because she can do teenagers, we see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she could do costumes as well. I don't think she would have an issue. She does faces well, too. Like, that's the thing, too. Like, there's a lot of character stuff going on in this.
Yes.
And she
like, facial it. Expressions and
yeah.
whatnot.
Yeah. There's a lot of that going on in this. And I think there's times when it's written in the Supergirl book, it's because of the art, it doesn't come off right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's issues where she's supposed to be, like, she's isolated, sad, alone. And her parents are trying to, her adoptive parents are trying to connect with her, and it's not working. It doesn't come off as well when it's that style of art.
Right.
But if I bet you, if it was done by this, by Joella Jones, it would be more heartfelt in it. And then you'd see her drawing, and I would love to see her drawing her fighting, you know, like robots and shit. That would, because she's done. The other book she's done, the indie book, about the, what do they call it? Lady Killers.
Yeah.
It's violent. Like, it's a satire, but it's violent. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. But she does very good with the action. And I think this artist would kill
on it, yeah.
On something like that. It's just, I think they just need to switch. Hopefully somebody will be like a light switch will go off and they'll be like, maybe we need to maybe do a mini relaunch, you know, a new arc. Maybe do a new arc like they did with Nightwing. Like Nightwing feels like it just started.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
This arc.
Yeah.
Than it did previously. It's like I don't know what that other shit was. It didn't look like that was him. Looked like that was a story he was given.
Yeah, it.
Right.
It was kind of like, hey, this is where we left Nightwing off at the end of the New 52 with Grayson and everything, and just try and do something.
Yeah, that whole Talon shit. I was like, we didn't need any of that. We didn't need. They should have started off with him going to Bloodhaven.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, I mean the last two issues have been spectacular.
So I think that really hurt that book, having that talent, that whole Falcon I don't know what the fuck that was to do with the
Raptor.
Yeah, I don't, like, come on. Like, we just had a whole thing of Court of Owls and shit. It's like, why would you name him Raptor? I bet he didn't even come up with that name.
Huh.
I bet you they gave him that. Like, call him Raptor. It's like, come on. Really?
Yeah, because there was no payoff either.
No.
Or at least for me, I didn't get one.
He was a fucking stalker.
Yeah.
He was Snape.
I liked your mom.
He was Snape in the Harry Potter universe.
Yeah, that was my whole issue was I liked your mom. And she was nice to me when I had the sickness.
Yeah.
When I had they called it the gypsy curse, but yeah, your mom was nice to me, so I spent the rest of my life following you. Does not make any goddamn sense. Now, if that was his kid, I could understand, but that's not your kid. You just had a crush on his mom, who's dead.
Who's been dead.
You move on.
Yeah.
I don't know. Either that or you try to kill him because he's not your son. Like, you're that type of psycho. But it just... It didn't make any sense. Not for a first arc.
Ridiculous. I'm loving the Bloodhaven, though.
Absolutely.
Because this is where it feels like where he needs to be. And, like, where now it's like a whole new toy box that we get to play in.
It was perfect. Read the whole thing of Rebirth. That was perfect. Put him in a new situation. Like, he should have went straight from after Rebirth ended, like after everyone had that one shot of Rebirth, that one shot should have been him going, I'm going to Bloodhaven.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to, you know, I want to start over. I want to do something different. I want to start over. And that should have been his first issue. That should have been Nightwing 1.
Right.
Because I'm going to Bloodhaven. And then we got that whole thing. Like that, whoever told him otherwise was out of the goddamn That is not how you start off a Rebirth issue, to put them in that situation. That story was so convoluted and ridiculous after it was all revealed. It was just ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, and, I mean, this last issue with Nightwing, I love, you know, he goes and everybody sees him, and they're all, you know, they're all frightened and freaked out and whatever. Right. He's like, no, like, I didn't follow you guys here. Like, honestly, I'm just right. here. I'm here to help you. And they're like, no, we don't believe you. We don't trust what's going on.
Yeah, it's so good, because Batman has a rogue, like, all these writers, there are so many terrible villains that they threw in like one part stories
right
throughout the, you know, Batman books. Like, they, a lot of them were just thrown in because I need a Condiment King, I need a fish head, like, they're just so ridiculous. Kite Man, give me a Kite Man or something,
right?
And they just came in for that one to two issues. Basically, I need somebody for Batman to punch in the face, and I need them to be in a suit. And that's basically all they were. So you have all these obscure, you know, villains and whatnot. And what happens to them after Batman kicks their ass? And then they go to prison, and then they probably get their ass kicked even worse.
Right.
Because who are you? Yeah. And you go, I'm Kite Man.
Yeah.
Word. You know what? I'm going to enjoy this. Hold my belt buckle, because you're about to see. Beat the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, you're about your life about to change. So you go through all of that, you get out of prison, like, I don't want to be in Gotham anymore.
Yeah.
I'm out. I'm running. I'm out. And you're gonna go to a city where basically they don't have superheroes in it.
Yeah.
And they don't like superheroes.
And they don't like it. It's like Jersey. Bloodhaven is like Jersey. That's how they describe it, like having that ball, the boardwalk and all that.
Yeah.
It's basically, that's basically Jersey. That's all they have. And, you know, it's a poor city. So you can go in under the radar and do what you do. And then all of a sudden you turn around and it's like, oh, God damn it. Batman dude, that's that Batman dude. And some of them even recognize him, that he probably was Robin when they kicked my ass. So it does look like you're like, it looks like Batman's like, I can see them going, you know, thinking it's all about them. Like, oh, Batman sent them all the way over here to get me.
Yeah.
It's like, Batman don't even know you exist.
Yeah.
He's punched so many people in the face, you're the least of his thought.
Yeah.
You don't matter. That's why when they reacted to Nightwing, it was like, no. Believe me. I didn't know you were here. No one knew you were here.
Right. Yeah, it's just the whole concept of it was fantastic. And Dick Grayson finally feels like Dick Grayson again.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he hasn't in a long time. Not since, I mean, I guess since about Forever Evil.
Well, yeah, because Grayson put him in a situation that he was totally uncomfortable with.
Yeah.
And, to kind of compromise him in a way. So when you take them out of that, you got to put them back in a situation where you got to put the pieces back. You got to fix your toys. You bent them, now you got to fix them back. So of course he would be the only one to trust. Batman would have knocked the shit out of that dude. Ape would have got hit. He would have threw. It would have to be more evidence than I didn't do it. Like,
yeah.
Nah, I need more than I didn't do it. And I don't got time for this. I got more people to punch. Like. Dick would be the one to be like, maybe you didn't do it. I'll look into it.
Yeah.
That's the difference. You know, that's the difference with him. He would try to talk them through it. Like, that's why he needs a Tim in a Dick Grayson. Tim would be like, we need to help these people get over it. And Batman's like, oh, fuck them.
Yeah.
And then later he'll be like, you know what? When you did that program to help those kids, it probably was better than me just punching them in the face and putting them back in prison.
Yeah.
You're right. Go do that. I'll give you money. Go over there and do that.
Yeah, I mean, he does respond to what Dick does. But like you said, it's, you know, what are you doing? All right, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't think about it that way. But go ahead. I guess if you really want to do it.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go. I can see him at the end of this funding the program to help those criminals, those Z-list criminals stay out of jail. I can see him doing that, like, you know, with the counseling and and kind of helping the teens. You know, you're getting these funds coming in that you didn't expect.
Yep.
All of a sudden, when it's supposed, when it's gonna shut down, I can see that.
Oh, yeah.
I can see I can see Dick Grayson becoming, you know, like one of the head counselors or something. Once this mission is, you know, once this adventure is over, and then, you know, trying to take out the evil cops in Bloodhaven, like slowly working your way through. You know, it's gonna take a lot of work. So it, that was the fun part about it when it was in the old Nightwing series back in the day. It was like slowly, you know, had to find allies and work his way, and they took out certain bad cops, and then, you know, he started to build his own kind of group of friends and networks and stuff. So that made it so good. So, and then the fuckers blew it up.
Yeah.
In one miniseries, it did. And Final Crisis, I mean, not Final, Infinite Crisis, blew it up. Boom, it's gone. Dropped Chemo on it. It was done. Like, I think all of us who were Nightwing fans just shed a tear. And read, like, we years of it. Like, that was, like, he's been, all the stuff they built for years. It was basically like they just put a middle finger up to Chuck Dixon and said, hey.
Yeah, I mean, there were some good issues of Grayson. You know, but my God, I haven't enjoyed him as a character in, I mean, easily 3 years.
Yeah, Grayson was a putting him in a totally different situation. That was totally out of his comfort zone, Dick Grayson.
Speaking of sidekicks doing stuff, what did you think of Wally taking care of the city in The Flash when Barry and Iris went on their date?
You starting to get a Wally with a personality.
Yeah.
They're starting to fix him. You know, they're starting to develop him.
I still don't know.
He's starting to get his own voice.
I have no idea how he knew who Tar Pit was. I mean, he sort of pulled that one out of the thin air.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know a lot about Tar Pit.
Well, yeah, but he's like a fanboy, a Flash fanboy, you know.
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it. This is the era of the smartphone. I mean,
true.
Yeah.
Even if you fought him one time, you go on YouTube and be like, you know.
Yeah.
I can see it be a YouTube hit, knocking this dude out, and then you think to yourself, "Tarp, who the hell names himself Tarp?"
Yeah.
That's stupid. Like, what? That's ridiculous. And, you know, since he is a fanboy of Flash, I can see that. I can, you know, there was some random, like, he wasn't one, and all of a sudden he saw the guy. He's like, yeah, I know who you are. It's like, there's no reason for it. But somebody who, you know, you can go online now and just put a person's name in, and then you can see a whole bunch of shit about them. I mean, I could see, you know.
That's true.
It would have every person he put in jail. You know, Barry puts him in jail, so everyone he puts in jail, you could look up online and see all the different villains that he's taken down over the years. So I didn't worry about that one too much. That actually had a, you know, there was, you didn't have to pull it out your ass to explain it. It was somewhere you could be like, you got the internet. I mean, you know.
Oh yeah.
You can explain it. Even paper cut.
Yeah.
And we fought paper cut. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I will say for Rebirth is they are breathing new life into some of the craziest, you know, the weirdest villains that, I mean, why are these people in these books? But it's nice.
That's a weird one.
Oh, yeah.
Flash, that's some weird rogues. Yeah. Oh, you read some of those old Barry Silver Age stuff and you see some ridiculous villains in those stories.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
But I mean, you know, like you guys said, Wally's starting to get a voice. You know, you're and he's, you know, how he defeated Tar Pit you know, it feels like Wally. So, I'm definitely I'm enjoying him more now than I was.
Yeah, they really have done much with. I mean, they haven't really. There not been too many because he started out as a bad kid.
Yep.
Like he started out as kind of a selfish bad kid, and he had the bad seed. It was almost like, oh, that, like it made me roll my eyes. Why he had to be black? Because now I have to get the gang, you know, like episode of the Scared Straight episode right. when they have a black character in a book. It's like, oh boy, here we go. You're gonna get some spiritual song at the end. He realizes that he can be a better person. And you know, so it's like it was eye rolling. I'm glad that they've moved past that, and now he's just write him as a geek. He's a kid, yeah. You know. Like sometimes, but he's a kid who people have stuck their neck out to help him, especially Iris. Like she stuck with him when most did not want to. So then he would, and that's that's something where it affected him. So now we would get a Wally who's more. More like a caregiver, I would say.
Right.
Because the other Wally, he was a selfish dick at that time. The Teen Titans, Wally.
Yep.
He went through some phases. He was actually like the conservative out of the group.
Yeah.
That was the conservative voice would be from Wally. Like, you know, the rest of them had that. They had those childhoods that were kind of, you know. They were an unorthodox childhood, but Wally kind of had a regular, you know, when it was all said and done, he had regular parents when the rest of them didn't.
Right.
Right.
So he had a good, you know, he had good relationships with his. So he was, he could be very, you know, he could be very selfish and get into fight arguments because of that. You know, he was not very forgiving. He's like, oh, you do drugs, Roy? You're bad. Like he would just be so, you know, like Raven. You don't love me. You know, like it would just be. He'd be selfish. Like Raven would go through things, and he'd be, you know, like I hate her.
Yeah.
Like he would just be such a jerk sometimes, and then he would have to realize, you know, he had to grow up. He went through a lot. Wally went through a whole lot to finally grow up to be a better person. Like, you know, Mark Wade. He didn't really start to grow up till like Mark Waid,
right? Yeah.
Time, and then you know, he developed from there. So I, you know, it's gonna take a minute, but I like it that they're doing something with him. Like, you know, he's had a lot of mentors, so that means, you know, that would affect the kid.
Yeah.
When you know.
Yeah, and
he'd want to do better.
And the thing I really liked is how, you know, yeah, he stopped Tar Pit, and you know. Even though he's still sending them to, you know, to Iron Heights Iron Heights is the prison there.
Right.
You know, he's like, yeah, no, you're definitely going there, but tell me about, you know, these people that kidnapped, you know, your niece and nephew. You know, so even though he did stop him, you know, it's the same thing as like a Dick Grayson kind of thing. You know, where he's like, well, all right, let me know.
Parents.
You know, let's figure this
he's
out.
He's had parents that have been in jail.
Yeah.
Like he would be more sensitive to somebody going to jail because of his background than others. Like Barry, because of his father being unlawfully put in prison, would be more sensitive too,
right?
Because of that situation. But so he would be the same way. Like, you know, they have a different take on it. So, you know, they would. He would ask. He'd be like, well, wait a minute. You know, like, you know.
Yep.
Wally would mentor. Like, as he got older, I could see Wally being a person that would mentor a criminal coming out of prison.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because of his background. Because he would have been the next one to go. Like, if Iris didn't jump in, he was an angry kid. He was ready to follow the same footsteps as his dad if she didn't. And she saw that he was that way. He was going that way, and she jumped in and kind of said, you know, they kind of had their movie moment of every time he lashed out, she'd be like, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
It's not your fault.
So, yeah.
And finally he's like, you know, all right. I'll cry and hug her and pet her. I'll stop being a jerk. Yeah, so, yeah, this is a different Wally that way.
Yeah.
I can see. Makes sense.
Somebody else has grown up as Stephanie and Detective.
Yeah.
Seems to be going backwards.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I like this. I mean, I think this book is terrific. And, I mean, I get everything. And I definitely liked when, you know, trying to fix up the team. And he's like, get in touch with Harper. She's going to say no. Just keep calling her. You know?
Yeah.
But in this, it really seems like she's missing the forest for the trees.
Mm-hmm.
There's still no payoff either.
No, not yet.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not going to be a long-term thing with her.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, even like for if this whole arc was to set her up, because I assume that like the first victim is going to be a recurring villain mm-hmm. from here on out, you know, because we mm-hmm. still don't know anything about him.
Right.
But like this last issue just didn't seem like fulfilling like the other ones have been, if that makes sense. It was still good, but
yeah, and
for me,
and when Stephanie's going on her whole diatribe about, you know, you don't get it, you this is what you do, you leave these people in your wake, you know, and then the mm-hmm. first victim is like, yeah, you know it. She's like, no, shut up, I don't, you know, I'm not on your side either. It's like, well, what are you doing then if you're not fighting the bad guys, but you're not fighting the good guys, and you're just kind of whining about everything now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, obviously she's still going yeah. through, you know.
Would one say that she's going emo?
Yeah, this would be emo. All right. This would be emo.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously she's still going through some grief. You know, but it's the same thing that Batman sort of acknowledged it. He's like, oh yeah, no, I shouldn't have pushed as hard. But
yeah.
Well, she said, I don't know, in my brain, because of so much of I've read of Stephanie before, it seems like Stephanie, they started out Stephanie the wrong way, I think. I don't think she should have been introduced in Batman Eternal the way that she was.
Right.
Like, they changed her thing. Like, she used to have, her father was the villain, her mother was the one who was her support system. Now they made it that her mother and her father were both villains. Like, they both were, and they both tried to kill her. So that took away anything she had. And she had no support system except for Tim and Cassie.
Right.
And then you take Tim away, and now she's lost it. Like, she's, like, I don't know what to do with her. Like, I know they want to do, I'm spoiler. Like, that, you know, like, that means I'm going to mess up everything, but it's just, it really makes it come off as just an immature teenager who doesn't get it. Like, when, you know, when the whole thing of, I did fuck up. You know, like, Batman is like, it doesn't always work out right all the time, but I'm trying. I want him to say, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah. Right.
Besides pouting.
Yeah.
Like, what did you think was going to happen? Like, you don't have to do this. I didn't tell you you had to fight crime. You came to me.
Yeah.
I just, like, I saved you before. Like, you came to me to do this. Bluebird, she went, she didn't have to fight either. When she left, she left. When she wanted to leave, she said she'd yep. leave. Nobody stopped her. You know, and Bluebird is, see, they should have never made Bluebird. Spoiler should have been Bluebird. That should have been the character that Snyder used instead of using Bluebird. There's too many similar characters.
Yeah.
And when he introduced Bluebird, that pretty much had too many female characters. There were too many that were kind of the same. And so it's just, I can see why he did it. But once you took Tim out of the equation, this book lost something when you took Tim out.
Yeah. But I mean, he
that you can't play.
He was kind of, I know.
He's kind of, yeah. I don't, but I don't know when we'll get the finish of that. Like, because they're not going to do that Watchmen whatever event that they hinted at anytime soon. Like, it's not going to come out in summer.
Yeah.
They're not doing. That's not the event that's going to be the summer event. So they're not dealing with that anytime soon. So I don't know if he'll be trapped. I hope not, but I don't know if he'll be trapped the whole time until then or not. I hope not, because if you put him in this, it's like, why show him again if you're not going to?
I think it's just kind of reminding people.
Yeah, but you keep reminding him and you don't give his Tim back. That's not a good thing. That just makes you go, well, you just
reminded me. Yeah,
I miss him. Like, I'm mad he's not here. Like, you know. But did you give him that cool ass moment of he put sitting there putting that shit together all that time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To get out, even though he got, you know, screwed up anyway. Yep. That was really a bad. That was one of those moments where you're like, oh shit! Like that, I would have been like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, you go through all of that and you know, and it was just a game to you. It's like, fuck it, I'm out. Like, it's just. I'm going to slit my own throat. I don't know what to do with you. Like, there's no way I'm getting out of this. Of course, Tim is going to find another way to get out again.
Right.
But they, yeah. They, like, putting Batwing, I like Batwing, and I like, I would like a John Paul if they do something with him. But they got a John Paul, they got a lot of work
right.
to do. They have to, he has to develop both of them. You know, I think he started to do that when he gave Batwing that. It was a little bit of social commentary, but it made sense, though.
Right.
It was honest, at least. You know, like, I could be that next. You know, like, cops do, the cops doing what they can, but they don't always do the right thing. And, you know, I know that I could be a statistic, no matter how rich I am.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, you need a Batman. He's basically was saying, like, when I saw that, when you see that Sybil in the sky, it's not just... it's just not something that scares criminals. You know, it inspires those of us who want to do more for this city. You know, and spoiler, you can't get it, but that's, you know, but it affected Batwoman. So at least we'll get that out the way. She gets that being all, you know, bitchy to Batwing now. And they can kind of, you know, deal with each other a little bit better. It's funny because the thing we were talking about with the Justice League is what they're doing with this, where giving them a watchtower type headquarters allows them to have those little conversations as this team starts to get bigger.
Right. Building moments.
Yeah.
So, totally agree on that.
We'll see. We'll see what. I'm looking forward to it to see where they go, especially now that they've agreed to really do this program that Tim and him, you know, that Tim came to him about.
Right, yeah.
You know, now he's embraced it. You know, now I wonder, you know, what is it going to be like now that they've all embraced this thing? The ones that are there. And then you get the nice Clayface character development of him, you know, visiting her. I hope that we get every couple of issues, you get a little panel or two of him visiting her and
checking, you know,
checking in, because as he talks to her, it kind of will help him. We kind of get his mental state too,
right?
Like they're each other support system, kind of. Right.
Because you can't. I mean, it'll be really creepy to have him hanging out with Cassie. It didn't work that well.
Right.
I just can't. He can't relate to that to her, and he can't. You know, I don't know how he will. He's an adult. Like, he, you know, like, these kids, it's not easy for you to... Batman is not a dude you're going to sit and have a beer with. That's not, you know, he's not that type of dude. You're not going to sit and have a beer and talk about, you know, your issues. And Batwoman is not necessarily that either. So he needs something else besides that. He, you know, someone who would understand what he's going through. So you can get that with Leslie and him talking to you know, the other woman.
Mm-hmm. Because, so, you know, because John Paul's going to come back.
Right.
Out of the two that he told to, like, Harper and John Paul, I would say that John Paul's the one that's going to quickly jump aboard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And now you don't have that stupid thing of the suit. Only when he puts on the suit, that's when he can fight.
Right.
Because that was the worst. That was the thing I hated about the pre-DC 52, the original Azrael, is that, you know, after a while, you can only do that for so long.
Yeah.
When that's your premise of he has to have the suit on to know how to activate the skills that he has. It's like, that's short-term character. And so now, he's trained. He just doesn't have a life. So now he has to actually, you know, he's been in that religious cult most of his childhood. So now he has to learn to be a. He's kind of like Colossus. He never got to experience life yet. Probably never dated anyone. He probably never, you know, never been to a regular movie. Never hung out at a mall. You know, like regular normal shit that people do as they grow up. He never did that stuff. So I could see him being that.
Which should be great storytelling too. Or moments.
Yeah, I can see Nightwing. I can see Batwing saying, "Let's go out to a club." You know, like they're around the same age. Like let me get you out. Let me get you. I'm gonna get you some girl. I'm gonna get you out there into the party scene. We're gonna hang out. You know, because he's
wouldn't
social.
That be great?
Yeah, he's a social animal, so I could see him being like, "We're gonna." You know, the girls are going to have their girls' night out, you know.
Even throw Clayface in there with them?
Yeah, because once he puts on the...
Bracelet thing?
The bracelet. The sad part about it will be he's still Clayface. Like, he can't really enjoy it.
Right. You know,
takes a girl home. It's not like, once he tells her, "Oh, this is what I am." So I don't know how long that relationship is going to last. So that'll always be his... that'll always be his pain. He's like the Thing, in a way. That, you know, that's always will be his thing. But yeah, I'd like to see that. You know, Nightwing take. I mean, I keep saying Nightwing. Batwing. You know, interacting with them because he's the only one that had a normal childhood out of all of them, and not that normal, but it's
more,
you know,
more so. Father.
Yeah.
You know, one character that I hope. Sticks around for a bit is McCall in action.
Oh yeah,
There's something about the story that's going on is interesting. I mean, you knew, you know, this Superman is not going to trust Lex like the new 52 Superman did.
Oh hell.
You know, just because of everything, he wasn't there when Lex did everything he did to help.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, he's trusting him. He's trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. He's like, well, I mean, these guys believe him, I guess. You know, he's trying to be a Superman. He's trying to be whatever. But I love at the end of this issue when he's like, everything, you know, everything I knew was right. You know, you're guilty. It's obvious you're guilty.
Yeah. I'm with him. I'm like, I'm the same. I'm feeling like he's the reader too. Like Superman saying everything that we readers are saying. Yeah. I don't trust that motherfucker. I don't trust him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care how much he talks about doing the right thing or whatever. He hiding something.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just waiting for that turn.
Yeah, and it's all because he has the mother box. He's like, no, you don't understand. It's just for this reason. He goes, no, I don't care. I don't care what the reason
Lex
is.
Luthers don't get mother boxes. Lex Luthers do not get mother boxes. This thing's too dangerous for you to have. No. And you've been hiding it if you had a mother box? Oh, hell no.
Yeah.
You know, so new. No. You know, the real creepy one is that damn Clark Kent.
Oh, yeah. The normal one?
He creeps me out, man. He's like, Lois, who? I'm just trying to be your friend like that. He comes off like an unsub. I'm thinking Criminal Minds. He's a killer.
He's
a serial killer or something.
Yeah.
He's too. It's just something ain't right about him. It's like he has that look. Like his.
He always tries to ask he's slowly always trying to get information from her. Like, it's subtle.
Yeah.
But Clark's never been that nosy. So it's like, when she says, all right, she hangs up a phone, he always throws in, who's that, Lois?
Yep.
Who are you talking to? And it's like, why you need to know? Like, what's going on? Like, something's... It's like he's trying to do intel on her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I need to know, like, who's at your house? Where are you going on the weekend? Like, he subtly throws that in there. Yep. Like, he's trying to get information for something. So, we'll get that in the crossover coming up. I just hope it works. I hope they do. It's a good story. Yeah. Hope it works out. It's worth the wait.
Yeah. I really like Jonathan in this book. Yeah, he's only in it for like 3 panels. But it's like, he's on the phone. He's like, oh, when are you going to be home? No, don't worry. You know, I'll just, I'll make the best of it. Don't worry about me. And then, yay, and he cuts the kitchen. Well, there's all funny the food, everything.
Yeah, it's funny because you think he's going to be a kid. Like, you think he's calling to be like, mommy, come home. Like, for a minute, I'm like, why is John calling her to come home? Like, what is... And then I'm thinking like a parent.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he wants me to come home, but he has to be a good boy. He has to be a big boy. You know, you fix yourself something. You'll be fine. I'll be home, a little late. Mm-hmm. No, he wasn't doing that. He was being a real child.
Yeah, he's just making sure how much time he had before.
I need time to know how much partying I can do in this house before you get in. So you're going to be like an hour? All right.
Okay. All right, we can finish eating the ice cream.
Sounding all sad, like, Mom.
Yeah.
That's what you did. I did it.
Like, absolutely.
Yeah. You're not coming straight home?
Mm-hmm. What do you mean you're going to... You got to do 2 more errands. Oh, all right, man.
Is that going to be an hour or 2 hours?
So instead of coming home now, you'll be home at 4? Okay.
Okay.
All right, guys, we got 2 more hours before we got to clean up, and you guys got to leave.
Put Atari back on. Let's play two more games of Atari, and then and then we'll... You got to go, and then I got to clean this damn house.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I mean, I'm pretty sure that LaCall and I forget the other guy's name with the horned helmet. I enjoy those characters a lot, and you'd think that they would be people that should show up from time and time to time, just based on what they do. But I have a feeling they're just going to be kind of one-offs. They're going to leave after this, but I would love to see them return in some capacity at some point.
Well, if he can make an ally, if Superman can make an ally out of this guy, because he knows he has the kid. Yeah. And they didn't throw it in for nothing when they did he knows. Like, he looked at him and he was talking about his family and stuff, and he was like, he knows.
Yep.
I have a kid, and he didn't come off as somebody who wanted to know he had a kid for creepy reasons.
Right.
Came off as someone that was like, You are a good person. Like, I see you have a family and stuff, so I see that you are a good person, so I can't even kill you.
Yeah.
Because that's the only reason why he's still alive.
Yep.
Because he had him. When he drained his, when they drained his energy, he had him. He could have took him out. But when he saw Johnson's face, like, I can't take a father from his son. I can't do that. Like, that's not what I am. I can't, So hearing this story, I just can't see him just disappearing. I think he's gonna leave that group or whatever.
Yeah, well, I mean, he sort of retired before they're like, "Yeah, you're not leaving. We need you just one more time."
Mm-hmm. Right. He's either gonna retire at the end of this, be a possible ally at times.
Yeah.
Like, or he's going to take the bullet that's meant for Superman.
Could be.
To save his life.
Or Lex.
Well, it might be because of Lex, Superman get ready to get killed, and he takes the bullet. Not for Lex, but for Superman.
Right.
Yeah. And then Superman, I can see Superman being, you mother effer Lex, I really hate you now. Like, you thought I didn't trust you before? I really don't trust you now.
Yeah.
Just wait.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Some good stuff in Superman, especially the previous Superman story with
Frankenstein.
Frankenstein. That was such a good one.
Yeah.
Where it was a sad one. Like, if it really was a payoff for people, for those of us who read the miniseries that they had, the Frankenstein and Shade miniseries that they did early in DC 52.
Right.
It just continues that, like, that whole thing. Because he, I mean, you know, really doing the family stuff without it being cheesy and boring. It's you know, that's the thing. Like, you could do the family stuff, but is it going to be enjoyable, or is it going to be, you know, stuff where the story just stops moving and we just fall asleep? It's not that type of...
Yeah, no, this did a good job of that.
Do a good job doing that, yeah.
Yeah,
what else you got?
What else came out this week? I don't even remember. Wonder Woman was this week, right?
All-Star Batman didn't make any sense.
I stopped reading All-Star Batman.
I read it. I was enjoying it, and it just got to the cloud and behavioral drugs in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of lost me. And then the Jim Gordon knowing he's Batman. Like, that's been a wink and a nod, but this is too much of a wink and a nod. Like,
right.
Like, Snyder's really basically saying, I know you're Batman, Bruce.
Yeah.
And I think that's too much. You don't need to... You're pulling the curtain back too much. You don't need to show it. We know, you know, like, we know Gordon is a good detective. Of course he knows you're Batman.
Right.
Right.
We know over the years, of course. There's been too many things that have been too many coincidences that, of course, he knows. Yep. But... You don't need to wink at us to tell us that you know.
Or even have him say, well, what do you mean if it's not Bruce that comes down these stairways and it goes to a different way?
Exactly. Like, it just was too much. You know, that's the thing. You're telling too much. And that goes to, you know, like, I don't like when they tell us too much. I like when it's, let me read the story and get it from the story. Don't tell me.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I'm like that too.
I'd like to do work a little bit. I don't like it too easy.
Well, and then that way, like, if we each interpret it our way, then it might be different than what you saw and what Aaron saw or whoever, you know.
Right.
But now it's like, oh well, we see the same shit. So
you basically laid it out, like,
yeah.
Oh, it's funny, Alfred. Like, and then the prank at the end, like, after all is said and done, everything is fixed. Mm-hmm. He comes in there, Batman dresses. Now, you want to talk about something Batman wouldn't do? That's a Batman wouldn't do.
Yeah.
Where he dressed like the KGB to scare Penguin. Penguin just murdered a town full of people because he hired the KGB, so it's his fault those people are dead.
Right.
Batman's not playing games. He don't play games like that. That's not a Batman thing. You know, Bruce, Dick might make a joke when he captures Penguin, you know.
Right.
But to do a prank? Mm-hmm. Bruce doesn't, no. Dude, Bruce is not doing a prank. He's not going to pull a prank on a murderer. He'd pull a prank on, he might, I could see him pull a prank on, you know, Duke or Rob, you know, like Damien or something.
Right.
But when it comes to people being murdered, he doesn't play. That's not a joke to him. This is not a dude that takes civilians being murdered as a joke, you know. So he wouldn't do that. So I don't know what was that, Snyder with that one. I don't, like, that just did not come off as not a Batman we know. It's funny because every time I hear Batman's emo, I'm like, when was Batman a party guy who was happy? Like, when is he, find me in the book where he's ever been the sunshine of a story.
It,
you know, that's not him. He lives in his darkness.
Yeah,
he lives in darkness. So you don't have, like, his thing is, I do it, but you don't do it. I do it, though.
Yeah, I do it for you.
Right, I do it for you. So I try to make
sure. You don't have to, I guess.
Or so you don't have to. I try to make sure that you never live that tragedy that I had to. Even though, you know, there's no way to keep that from happening to everybody, but still, that's his noble intent. So, yeah, that was just weird. It was almost like he was like, I'm to the end of this. Oh, fuck it. Do a prank. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with that last page. Whatever.
Like, he would waste time putting the KGB outfit on anyway.
Yeah, he wouldn't.
No, like, he had it on under the bat suit. He's already there. Like, he comes prepared, right?
Like, or even if he wrote it where he came to get him, like he went to go after him, and something, you know, like, and he uses the, like, the KGBs to make him run into a place he wants to run into to capture him or something.
Right, right.
And he, you know, like, I can see that. And then he, and, you know, Duke might even say, are you smiling under that mask? Like, right. You know, like him, Brute, you know, like Penguin getting beat or, you know, squawking like a penguin, you know, him falling over or something and doing the penguin squawk, 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 that stupid thing. And Batman, like, and Duke, I could see Duke going, I think you're laughing. I think you're smiling. And Batman, like, what? I don't smile. You know, like, just. But you know he is. Like, there is a subtle grin of seeing Penguin look like that, you know.
Right.
There is that kind of perverse little joy he got out of doing that. Sometimes I do enjoy knocking people the F out. Like, Batman likes to pretend he doesn't.
Yeah.
But he does. Like, really? He really does. He does enjoy doing it. Like, it's not just Dick Grayson that enjoys jumping off those, you know, jumping off roofs and doing all that crazy stuff. It's just that Batman always likes to pretend he doesn't enjoy it. But when no one's watching, he does get a thrill out of doing it.
There might be a smile every once in a while.
Yeah, but you'll never.
But for a very short time.
Yeah, you'll never see it. It'll be a grin. You'll never notice it. Unless you know him well, you'll never notice it. That's Batman.
And this is JRJR's last one on this one, right?
Yeah, a new artist rotates in for the next.
For the next.
I might start reading it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rotating art team.
Yeah.
I think it's. Who was the next one? Astula Lote? I'm not that familiar. I'm not that familiar with what they previously worked on. What does she work? It says she's worked on Scarlet Witch, the single, you know, the Scarlet Witch book.
Okay.
The one that's out right now, or the one?
Yeah, the ongoing. It says she worked on that, so I think she's the one that does that really heavy scratch.
Oh, heavy outline type.
Yeah, I think that's her. Yeah, exactly. I'm looking at it, and I'm. Yeah, she's the one that does that heavy dark type of look to it. So we'll see. I don't know. I don't know how long that person's on the. But there seems to be a book that names come on it, so I don't think this person will be on that long. Maybe it'll be a one-off.
Maybe, yeah.
And then the new art team, because I could have sworn there was a name. There was somebody, like Jock or somebody, was taking over.
I thought Jock was the second one.
Was
someone? Well, it has. Like, yeah. For eight, it has Giuseppe Camicoli and Francesco Francavilla.
Oh.
So
I like Francavilla's art. Mm.
And he's worked with him before because Snyder had Detective first when he was doing Detective before before DC 52. That was Francavilla he did that with. And Jock. Those are the two artists that he worked with.
That's like the ones that you said right there, and then you throw in JRJR. That's like different art styles each time, almost.
Oh, it's definitely going to be that. I think that was the selling point of what they wanted to do with the each arc up, be a totally different artist, but it was supposed to be like an all-star
art
team to go with the name of the book. Actually.
Yeah.
So I forgot the list. They did have a list. I just totally forgot who was on the list when they said who was supposed to be on the book.
I can't remember.
Yeah, I just cannot remember either. But I think Jacques was one of them. Like, Francis, I can see. Jacques, I can see. These people he worked with before.
Right.
So, you know, Capullo's re-signed. I don't know when he's coming back.
I think he kind of hinted at they're doing some event thing together in the summer.
Yeah, that's the summer event book that's coming. Yeah.
So Capullo's doing the summer event with him then?
With him, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the...
That'd be cool.
Yeah, it'll be cool. It's a Batman-centric event, too.
Yeah.
So, see how that goes.
Yeah.
And I think... Well, I didn't read Blue Beetle.
Yeah, I didn't either.
And I read Justice League versus Suicide Squad. I did read that.
I didn't get to the second issue yet. I wasn't so into the first one, so I think I might wait until it starts to tie in with the Justice League and just kind of blow through a bunch of it.
I like the first one better than the second one. The first one had a lot of nice Easter eggs that I liked.
That's not very promising for me.
Yeah, it won't be very promising if you don't like the first one.
I mean, it was okay, but I don't see why.
It is very... What, why they did it? To get money out your pocket?
Yeah, I guess, but, like, it's still... like I said before, it's technically like a year worth of story in 6 months, but it seems so early to start throwing in all these... You know, just like silly crossover type things or whatever.
Well, this is only a weekly 5-issue.
Right, I mean, but they're tying it in with the Justice League weekly. Book.
Yeah, the aftermath is in the Justice League book. Probably the thing about it is, to be honest about it, if they had a stronger Justice League book,
true,
it probably could have ran out of Justice League and just crossed over with Justice League and Suicide Squad. But it seemed like since they did not have a stronger Justice League book, they wrote around it and they created the Justice League one. Because it could have just been like how they did with Batman, where it ran through Nightwing, blah, 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 blah. It was done.
Yeah. Right.
But to do it this way... to do it this way instead... I don't know. Issue two was, it was a little too comic booky in terms of, I will use my ice powers because I have ice powers and I will shoot you with my ice powers. I will use my, I'm Captain Boomerang and I have boomerangs that I throw and I throw my boomerangs at you. I'm Enchantress and I use magic and. That's right. Why Superman got hurt because he's vulnerable to magic. And
so
it was a little too.
So the way they're writing it, it seems like they expect people to know the Justice League, but have no idea who the Suicide Squad people are.
Pretty much.
Even though it was just in a movie that was pretty successful.
Yeah, pretty much. It was kind of like that. It read kind of the second one read more like that than the first one.
That's not cool.
And yeah, it's. I need a. It had a little too. A little too on the nose. A little too. I need it written
tongue
up.
Tongue in cheek.
Bit. Yeah. I need to be a little stronger.
Right.
I need my book to be a little.
I do like Killer Cross though.
Yeah, I like it as a character. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I like that.
Vote of confidence by Daryl.
Well, I'm just saying I like that she's actually in this, you know, now.
Yeah.
As a person, but
well, it didn't help that I like Tony Daniels' art, but I think what hurts the second book is that he probably didn't even get a full month to do it.
Right.
Right.
Because they had to. It looks like they had to rush this.
Yeah.
So. Which is disappointing, but I know they don't like to delay books. That's the thing. DC doesn't like to push back books.
Unless it's the final issue of a miniseries event.
Right. So, yeah.
Freaking Forever Evil.
Or it's something where it's like, if it's Jeff Johns and he says no, you're going to wait.
Yeah.
It's different. Like if
well, that was Forever know, Evil. Somebody, he got backed up on
well,
stuff.
Well, not Forever Evil. You mean...
No, Forever Evil.
You mean Darkseid War.
No, the last book of Forever Evil was also delayed.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and
yeah,
and they had
the most recent
books,
was Dark Side.
Books that were coming out that took place after the event ended. that giveaway the last issue of the story, and you're like, the fuck, like, if you're gonna delay this, delay those, throw in some stupid stuff, like,
that sounds Marvel-esque.
That was terrible.
Same deal, where you got, you know, got a writer that you're not gonna piss off,
yeah,
and you're gonna do it. So that's kind of what happened.
Yeah.
But I hope the other books don't look as rushed, because I'd prefer they had waited. Because, like, I, you know, like, that Jason Fabok book was pretty. That,
right.
Was, that was a pretty book. But if it's going to be a little less stronger on the writing, then the art better be tight.
Yeah.
But if the art is not as tight, that's when I notice even more how the story is not as strong.
Well, the artist on the new issue of Wonder Woman, I am totally unfamiliar. Renato Guidez. I don't think I've ever seen that name before. And I think I liked his art.
I think Renato Guidez did the... He did some of Justice League. Not Justice League. He did some of JSA back in the day.
Oh, okay.
If I'm not mistaken. And he did some Superman back in the day.
Okay, so it's someone that I probably haven't just noticed in a while.
He hasn't done a lot of recent work. I don't think.
Okay, that's.
He does a fill in here and a fill in there, but. But other than that, I don't think I've seen him on anything too much. Like, just some fill-in work here and there. Like, he's done... if it's who I think it is, he's done some Injustice stuff. And,
oh, okay.
That's probably where you've seen him at.
Yeah, that's definitely... Unless it's the new series that I'm not... It's
the new Harley Quinn.
Oh, it's terrible. Injustice was the best comic DC was putting out, and then they had to ruin it by giving me Harley's perspective on things. Come on.
Yeah, it was weird that they would do that when you already have a book that, you know, Harley already has her own book, so why would you do that with Injustice?
Yeah.
Like, you don't need it.
Yeah, it's I'm collecting it. I will get it all, and then when the I guess year one will probably end around 20-something issues, or ground zero, whatever it is. I'll just read it all. I'll get there. But...
Yeah, I kind of stopped reading it single issue too, and...
Yeah.
I've kind of been waiting for it to just be collected.
Yep.
And I'll do it that way. It's better that way.
Yeah. But I...
Yeah, it's just not...
I thought the issue of Wonder Woman was good. I like...
Well, he did Britannia. Britannia for...
No.
Yeah, he did one of the covers.
Oh, one of the covers.
He did one of the covers for Britannia.
For Valiant?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess he's been doing cover art.
Huh.
Like, that's been his thing now. That's probably why we haven't seen him that much.
Hmm.
He did the covers for Injustice. That's what it is. He did the covers for Injustice.
Oh, okay.
That's what it is. Done the covers, not the
insides.
Not the interiors.
But I enjoyed, I guess, Steve taking care of Diana for once.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still curious to see where they're going with this whole Themyscira isn't... real kind of thing, and you know whatever is going on with her, but I mean, this book definitely it's so much better for me than it was when it started.
Yeah, I agree. I like where they're going with it. I like where, like you said, like actual Steve's like protecting her.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like he's stepping up and. Taking that role.
Right.
And he gets shot in the process.
Yep.
Again.
Yeah,
again, yeah.
That's how it happens.
And he's been tortured and
Yeah.
Shot.
He had to take his shirt off the first couple of issues. Now he's got shot in the thigh, so now he'll have to take his pants off.
That's how it goes.
Well, he had his shirt off in this one, too, because he was using his... He tore his apart to use it for whatever.
Got a saber.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tear her clothes off, not your own.
Hey, Glenda Williams, you put that on a pedestal, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm...
In fact, you don't really have that much clothes to rip either.
Yeah, that's true.
So what are you going to do?
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, leaving her in the mental hospital, what is it, Nightingale Hospital or whatever?
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, like, this arc has definitely gone to places that I was not expecting. So.
And I don't think that's going to end well either.
No, of course not.
It's not.
Either A, she's going to flip shit while she's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Or B, Nightingale's not what it's cracked up to be.
Well, some evil entity is trying to F with her still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So whatever it is, it's got to follow her to where it... Or it's already there, and that's why it was put there for them to...
Right.
To go there in the first place.
Yeah.
So what would your guys' DC book of 2016 be, though?
Oof. Book of 2016.
Yeah. Your DC one.
The DC one?
It doesn't have to be Rebirth. I mean... There's a lot of stuff that came out then.
Jeez.
Because Deathstroke would be up there for me.
Well, the new issue of Deathstroke was freaking so good.
Batman is up there for me, and Superman I've enjoyed really a lot too. And
It's tough because at the end of the New 52, a lot of the books, like once they announced Rebirth, a lot of the books sort of went into, you know, like the wait and see wrap up mode.
That
it wasn't. I mean, a lot of them didn't finish with the greatest of stories. It was just like, all right, let's wrap up what we've been doing for the last couple years.
Yeah. Or let's throw some bullshit stories out there.
Yeah. Yeah, just like random stuff. I mean,
I'm not wasting my time on this one. It's going to end anyway.
Well, that's,
Grayson is like, oof, man, that was so bad. Like, if you're not going to end it with the team you brought with it, you should have just ended it then.
Yep.
Like, why have it continue for another six something issues? Yeah. And no one's going to want that. Like, that's the thing that's going to kill that. Like trade, like, you know, like that collection, it'll probably never get a good hardcover collection because you took off
the original writer
and Tom
team. Yeah, Seeley was
no one's gonna want to pay that for, you know, for a last arc of these no names that you never heard of before for this story. It wasn't that good.
But I mean, you do also have people that don't get single issues and will only get the trades.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, they might not even pay attention always to the creative changes.
They'll pay attention to the hardcover.
Well, as they're reading the trades and they're like, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. Yeah. Like, why did all this change?
I don't think DC is very cautious about trades. I don't even think it will be collected because they know the numbers will drop when it gets to that last. So I don't think Grace is going to get a hardcover, like a one big hardcover collection of it. No.
Right.
No matter how popular Tom, like if they had kept him on the book and, you know, Tom continues to be as popular as he is now, they could have done a nice little, like they do with Snyder, they could have did a nice little...
Yep.
Collection of stuff like they've done with American Vampire or, you know, whatever he's worked on. They've kind of collected it, gave it a nice, like a nice little collection and slap his name heavily on it.
Yeah.
But once you take, you know, like when they know, Oh, he's not a, They know. They know that, you know, you might get a first thing of orders for it, but then when they open that book and see that how it ends, and they're going to be like, oh, bullshit, and they're going to complain, and people are going to see that, and they're going to be like, I'm not buying that.
Yep.
Like that's how it ended?
Yeah.
I'm not, you know. They were better off just having them end it. They should have just had them just freaking end it.
Yeah, but I mean, they had to run it out a couple months. See, that was the whole thing when, like, the year before when they moved from New York to California, and they're just like, yep, every book is going to stop, and we're going to give you 2 months of convergence just so that we have books coming out.
Right.
That killed me. You know, it's the same thing with New 52 ending, where it's just like, well, we're just going to put these books out to keep putting books out. Even though a lot of it doesn't make sense, and not some of it doesn't wrap up any of the story that you hope it wraps up.
Nope. It's just a waste of paper.
Yeah.
No one's happy with that. No one's happy when they do runs like that.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that.
But, I mean, for me, I would say just based on the fact that how surprised I am by how much I really like the book, I would say Deathstroke is probably my favorite of the year.
I can go.
I mean, it came out of nowhere.
It did.
And,
it totally did.
And I mean, now you're going to give me Cary Nord on the art in that book? Okay. You know?
Strong as art team.
Yeah. I mean, it's been good to begin with, and I was like, heck yes. Yeah, that's fantastic. So.
I can go with that.
Yeah, I mean, like, Detective is also really, really good, but the last. I got to see how these issues, like this arc kind of resolves itself.
Right.
Right, yeah.
Because it's losing me a little bit.
The bang, or is it fizzling?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like you said,
Once Tim gets put to the side, it does, it has lost some of the magic that it had for me.
See,
they took Tim out.
I've still been enjoying it up until, you know, emo spoiler.
I don't know what she'll continue to be.
Yeah.
I don't know what her.
And if.
Because I don't want to read issues of just her coming out of nowhere and breaking the sign, you know, breaking the bat signal and, you know, stuff like that. Like that.
Stomping away.
And.
Doesn't appeal to me.
Well, and that's the thing, that her, you know, her relationship with Tim was such a good part of the first half of the run so far. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, taking out Tim already, you're like, oh, that kind of sucks, but now you're losing her. You know, that's a huge hit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, what about you, Ronnie?
I'd probably have to say, honestly, for me, it'd probably be Aquaman.
I knew you were going to say Aquaman.
Or Deathstroke. Like, because they're both out of left field for me.
Yeah.
You know, I went into both of them not expecting much.
Right.
And to me, they both delivered constantly. I mean, I know you guys have had issues with Aquaman art or whatever, you know, here or there, but to me, they've both been the most consistent.
Mm.
Yeah, I've enjoyed Aquaman. It's just, yeah, some of the, like, it had so many rotating art.
Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Like, there's just so many. That it just, if it had a more consistent art team, I think it probably would level up a little bit more. But I like the story that they've done with this. I mean, I've only not liked the first appearance of that Black Manta where he was like, kill me, and he was
It was terrible.
No, I won't do, like, that just wasn't Black Manta, but they needed him to.
Well, they had to get him in a certain place, but
right.
But
right.
You could have done it so many different ways than that.
Yeah, that could have been a different way, because Black Manta would have been like, before he finished the sentence, blood would have been coming down because he stabbed him and killed him already.
Yeah, that first arc, the first couple issues of that book were not good.
Yeah, Black Manta is not the top. He's not deep. He's not the dude that's going to sit there and...
Wax poetic.
You know, wax poetic about what am I doing with my life.
Yeah.
that's not him. He'd have walked out. Aquaman's head would have been. He would have been holding his head in his hand, smiling.
Yep.
And he would have whistled on and down the block and went on about his business. And he would have been just fine.
Yeah, and I mean, and I would have been okay with that, because that's him.
That's him, because you don't give him a sword and tell him to end it.
Crazy.
Unless you want to die. I mean, but, yeah, all the stuff with the Nemo and the, you know, stupid government.
And the mirror stuff.
Yeah, you know. You know, I'm so mad. You find yourself just mad with the rest of them.
Yeah.
Why y'all gotta be falling for that? Like, why would you fall for that? Why would he go through all this trouble when he could have just took y'all out a long time? You could have killed the president in 2 seconds. You could have cracked his neck in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
If you really wanted to kill the president. Like, you ain't all that. Like, if you really wanted to take y'all out, you could have did it. And the Justice League would not have gotten there before he did it either.
Nah.
Well, nope.
He could have grabbed him, snapped his neck, and been walked off and been done.
And that's the other thing. How many times does he have to explain to Superman what's going on? And then Superman goes, oh, yeah, no, okay, I understand. And then 2 issues later, he's like, hey, we need to talk again. Like, no, I just explained this to you. It's the same thing that's happening. Oh, now you brought the whole Justice League. Now I'll explain it to all of you.
Yeah, just take me to jail. Yeah. I don't even talk about it again. Just take me to jail now. It's ridiculous.
Got anything else?
No, I don't think.
Ronnie?
Kinda.
Ronnie's sleeping.
Fell asleep.
It's probably on mute.
I'm here.
Oh.
Yeah, I had it on mute.
Probably cooking some soup.
I was cracking a beer.
Ah.
You got anything else?
No, I don't. I'm good.
Cool. Well, you have been listening to Rebirthically. You can tweet to me at Aaron S. Bell. You can tweet to Ronnie at RonBar316 or the show directly at NL Rebirthically. You could tweet to our very special guest, Daryl, at TheVoice123. Or you could find him, I guess, on the Taylor Network of Podcasts. You can email the show at rebirthically@gmail.com. And I guess that's everything, right?
Yep, sounds like it.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you for listening. And I guess Happy New Year.
Even though it already is the
new year. Well, whatever. It's the first time we've recorded in the new year.
Yeah.
Happy, or is it Emo New Year?
Yeah, Happy Emo New Year.
Yeah, Happy Emo New Year. That's right.
And we have an episode title. We'll be right back.